We do need God's help as we come to his word, so let's pray and ask him for it now. Our great God and Father, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. Thanks that you've spoken to us in the scripture and through Peter and in this great event of the transfiguration from all those years ago. We pray now that you'd help us as I speak and as we think that we might be transformed and our hearts might be lifted to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll be helped if you can have a Bible open there to 2 Peter chapter 1 in the second half. And let me start by saying that it's part of our nature, don't you think, to be independent. Have you noticed how so many people don't need the instructions when we're opening something that we've just bought? Is there anybody here who always reads the instructions, by the way? Oh, wow, you exist. I got no hands at all in the 8:30. I don't know what that says about our two congregations. But I admit I'm one of them those people who ignore the instructions. Because who's got time for reading all those words? Right? And most of the time, those of us who don't read the instructions, we're right, because you've got that car and you press the accelerator and you've got the handbrake and it's driving and you're away. And what did you really need to read of that big book anyway, did you? Or you turn the knob on the oven that you haven't tried before, and lo and behold, there's heat. Right? And there you go. You can put your thing in the stove and you're off. Right? But the time when you start to read the instructions, or at least ask someone who has or knows what they're doing, that's when things are going wrong. Right? So I sometimes borrow the church's leaf blower to blow some of the leaves off the house, but the first time I used it, tried to start it 15, 20 times, and I became convinced that it wasn't that I wasn't strong enough, but I needed help. The instructions needed to tell me that there was a pump, that you've got to pump with your thumb to get the fuel through. You know, you get this kind of experience. Or Paul Hunt, you remember Paul, right? He's lent me a car, bless him, he's very generous, and the first time I needed to fill up the car was a problem. And this has to happen from time to time, because I couldn't work out how to open the fuel tank. And apparently, I'd never heard of this before, but there's a special kind of tank that you wander around to, and as long as the keys are within, I don't know, 5 meters or something, you can just walk outside and press on the actual cap and it'll pop open. And if the keys aren't close enough, then it won't. Who would have thought of that? Sometimes, when things are going wrong, when you're about to, when your car's not about to stop and not work anymore, it's time to see what the manufacturer intended. It's time to look at the instructions to get some help. And the Christian conviction is that humanity needs a bunch of instructions about life. And not just instructions, but stories, eyewitness accounts of key events and wisdom, key history and more. And especially how to get out of this mess. I was kind of gesturing at you guys, not particularly focusing on you guys there. But the mess that the world is in, right? Because you just need to look at the news and see all that's going wrong. And you just need to look into your own heart and see how much we get attracted to things we know we shouldn't be attracted to. How our thoughts go astray, our words, our deeds. The mess we've made of various parts of our life. And it becomes plain we're in that kind of position where it's not just that we turn the knob and the oven won't go on, but we turn the knob and every now and again a big fire erupts in the house. You know, we've got a big problem. We need the instructions. Right? And so, in this next section of 2 Peter that we're looking at today, we have one of the most precise sections in the Bible speaking about God's instructions, or more specifically, speaking about the nature of Holy Scripture. And so that's going to be our focus today. What does Peter think we need to hear about the character of this written prophecy of the Scripture? So now I'm just getting open to 2 Peter 1, verse 12. It is our second week, as I say, in 2 Peter. It's a letter, you can see in chapter 3, verse 1, written to stimulate us to wholesome thinking. And it's written, in the first couple of verses, we understand, to those who believe in Jesus as our God and Saviour and Christ. But like I said, we've got three angles today that I want to pick up into the reasons that we need Scripture. So we've had, who reads the instructions? And here is the first reason that we need the Scriptures, that we forget the unforgettable. Now pick it up with me in verse 12. As Peter says, "So I will always remind you of these things." Now, these things, they're the things we looked at last week, as he talked about the fact that we should build the virtues of our life on our trust in Jesus. That is, Jesus has died for all our sins and risen again. The first thing in thinking about how to build our life, a productive life, is to trust in that death and resurrection. They were the things that Peter will always remind us of, will remind you of while he lives, even though, he says to them, you now know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Do notice that. That's quite remarkable. He says, even though you're firmly established, even though you're mature Christians, you're going to need reminding. You're going to be forgetful. You're going to forget this unforgettable thing that Jesus has paid for all of your sins by that horrible death. You're going to forget it. So I'm going to keep reminding you. Well, verse 15, "And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." See, we know the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us. There may be some visitors here who aren't Christian and aren't persuaded of the magnitude of it, but for most of us who've been around church, have been Christian a short time or long, in becoming a Christian, we have accepted that Jesus is our God and our Saviour and our King because of the amazing thing he's done in dying for all our sins, taking our punishment. And yet, as mature and as established as we might be, we need reminding. We need to keep reading the Scripture. We need to keep opening it. We need to keep coming along to church and having reminders from the front and talking to each other afterwards about the things that otherwise we'll forget. Now, we know we're forgetful people, don't we? I don't know. I missed a meeting this week. I had to apologize to somebody for forgetting a prayer meeting. Did anyone here forget a meeting this week? They want to admit it? You don't have to. Right, and we forget important things. Sometimes I struggle to remember my nephews and my nieces' birthdays. And if you do worse than that and you've forgotten a spouse's birthday recently, that doesn't go down well, does it? Now, all sorts of important things we forget. The most important thing we need to remember is Jesus. We read about him through his word. Now, did you know that the king of Israel had a special instruction about what he had to do with the scriptures so he wouldn't forget not only his salvation but how he was to rule justly? If you're a very fast Bible flipper, you might like to read this in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Deuteronomy 17, verse 18. Here's what the king of Israel was told. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. That might have been all of Genesis to Deuteronomy, might have just been Deuteronomy, but it's a lot, right? A copy of this law taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. Now do notice, it's not as though you and I have more to do than the king of Israel would have to do. Okay, the king of Israel wasn't like our queen, kind of a titular head who doesn't actually have much power. He had an enormous amount of sovereign power, did the king of Israel. A huge amount to do in governing his nation. He's told, make sure you read God's law, the scriptures, all the days of your life. And if it was important for him to fit it in with all the things he had to do, with all of us who I'm sure have less responsibility than that, we need to fit it in as well all the days of our life. Why? Because we forget the unforgettable. We forget the small things, we forget the big things. We need to not forget these biggest of things, what Jesus has done for us, who he is. And so have you got a plan for working on reading through the Bible? Are you committed to coming to church regularly and being reminded of these things? Are you really convinced of what Peter implies here, that in your natural self you forget the most important things? Because that's the assumption set of Peter, I think we know that it's true, don't we? And so we need that encouragement to keep going back to the scriptures, keep coming along to church. Because we forget the unforgettable. But second, the second reason we need the scripture is because we need eyewitness testimony to Jesus' life. We saw a bit of that in the kids' talk. But to have a look at verse 16, as Peter is wanting to assert the importance of the fact that he didn't make up his stories about Jesus, that he was an eyewitness. See how he puts it again. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And then in verse 17, he retells part of that story of the transfiguration that we had read, how he was led up the mountain with Peter and John, with James and John, and saw Jesus with his clothes bleached whiter than any bleach could bleach them, if I put that right. And the voice came from heaven, and you're not going to forget that, are you? God wanted to say something. He wanted to say it from the heavens to these three with Jesus in their midst. And what did he want to say? He wanted to say, "This is my son, whom I love. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him." And you can imagine an eyewitness of that. You wouldn't forget that, would you? You'd want to tell people. And so he wants to insist, no, these aren't cleverly devised stories. Verse 18, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." I don't know if you can imagine being there. I imagine that the voice is a deep, booming kind of voice. But what you'd remember more is the content, pointing to Jesus. Here's the important one in your life. Now, I just want to underline the fact that this is a normal way to learn things that are true, to come to knowledge, is through reliable witnesses. Sometimes people start talking these days as though there's only one way to know things, which is science or something like that. But there's all sorts of different ways we come to know things. And one of them is through the testimony of reliable witnesses. Well, think about all the things you came to learn as you were growing up in your parents' household. When to take medicine, which medicine not to take, which food was off, when to cross the road, that you shouldn't stick a knife in the toaster. Any number of things that you learned. And how did you learn them? Well, it was the testimony of your parents who you thought were reliable, right? They're reliable witnesses. You could come up with reams of things that you learned in that way. Indeed, the whole of the discipline of history depends on eyewitness testimony of reliable people that's taken to be trustworthy. And in particular, when you hear somebody who's themselves an eyewitness, then the stories and their testimony comes with greater power. It's more persuasive. So we were at a clergy conference 3 or 4 weeks ago where all the clergy get together, the Anglican clergy. And one of the things we were hearing about was that an Indigenous man got up and spoke about how his mother had been taken from her parents so that she was one of the stolen generation. And we hear about the stolen generation a fair bit, but there's something more powerful, isn't there, about hearing someone who is an eyewitness, who telling us about what it was like, what his mother said. He is able to depict things in such a way and bring them with such power that they arrest you. And so it is here with the Bible and putting in the eyewitness accounts to Jesus that are there. The question then you ask is, do I consider that Peter is a reliable witness? And that's one of the reasons, of course, if you read through the Gospels, we're given accounts in detail of some of the lives of these disciples. And not just in the Gospels, but in the Acts of the Apostles. And you get to see the kind of man Peter was, the kind of men that these disciples were, and indeed the women who gave these important testimonies to who Jesus was. And Peter, we have allusions here in this passage to his coming death, that his departure is coming up. And we know from outside the Bible that he suffered a horrible death in the time of Nero, precisely because he wouldn't stop saying these very things. And so here is a guy that I put to you is a reliable witness, and here's what he wants to say. And that's persuasive. One of the reasons to read the scriptures is because you get persuasive eyewitness testimony to these things of Jesus. And so again, have you been reading recently? Particularly thinking about the reliability of these eyewitnesses in the scriptures. But third and finally, third reason we're given that we need the scriptures is that we need inspired accounts explaining the world and our place in it. Now have a look at how verse 19 is put. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so, let's focus to begin with on this term completely reliable. It's more than just saying that it's without error. It's saying it's reliable for a task, for a purpose, the purpose of giving us the words we need from God to live in this world that is messed up, to live in this world where we see that we keep inclining the wrong way, where we need forgiveness. It's completely reliable as the words we need from God in that context, and until we're taken to glory. And so we do well to pay attention to it, verse 19, as to a light shining in a dark place. This is a dark place, right? If you want both a reliable word from God that's not just reliable, but reliable for the purpose of dealing with the fact that we're in such a dark place, it's the scriptures that are the place to come. They're both reliable and of utmost importance. See, when I was a kid, very smart, I was 7, 8 kind of years old, I was a bit of a math nerd. I love numbers. And most kids, I don't know, were playing with their Lego. I used to play with this adding machine. I don't know, that's what we called it. It might have a more specific name. But it had these digits, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And you could press the 1 or the 4 or the 5 and the units would go up. But it'd go all the way across, so you could be in the tens column or the thousands or the hundreds of thousands. And I'd just sit there just pressing one button again and again for like minutes and minutes. Half an hour, I think I could do it. I'd find different ways to amuse myself, having a race. How quickly can I get to this number? What if I go with fours instead of threes? And it was completely reliable. If you press the four lots of times, it would just keep moving you through your four times tables until it was beyond anyone ever thinks about the four times tables. I'm sure that very few other people have that kind of experience. That's all right. You've got a minister who's a bit strange, all right? You just got to deal with that. Thanks for the encouragement over there, Karen. It's reliable, but it's not very useful, right? It's reliable in adding up, but it would be more useful if you had a calculator, so you could actually put 99 in there and not just up to 5. Some things are reliable, but not very useful. Other things are useful, but not reliable. Lots of people do write about God and about sin and judgment and the end of the world and all these key categories in Jesus, but they're not completely reliable. The scripture's the one place where you get those two things together. But I do want to draw out, because here we have the most precise paragraph, I think, probably in the whole Bible. Maybe it's 2 to 2 Timothy 3, but describing how the scripture comes to be completely reliable. And I want to suggest that, first of all, it's not static. That's to say, it's not like a dictation here. It's not like the Muslims would perceive the Quran, that God just dictated the words to Moses, Muhammad, and he wrote them down. Because clearly, the author's personality comes through in the different writings of the scripture. And so it's not static, but nor is it what I'd describe as dynamic. That is to say, it's not that the person, the author, is inspired like Shakespeare, say, so that everything he writes necessarily is inspired through Shakespeare, like Shakespeare. Right, because the apostles would sometimes get things wrong, right? And so what I think is being said here is the focus is on not the person delivering it, but the prophetic message, right? Verse 19, the subject is the prophetic message. Verse 21, the subject is prophecy. Never had its origin in the human will. And so I think you could describe this as an organic kind of inspiration of the text. That is, the words of Scripture are both authored by the person and authored by God. And in that way, we come to have a text that is completely reliable and incredibly useful for our most important needs. And isn't that remarkable? I commend you to continue reading those three verses there if you want to think a little more about how it is that we have the scripture that is completely reliable. But the creator of the universe thinks we need such special words. And Peter wants to stress that at this point. So to bring back to kind of where we started, imagine if you were describing the world and your life in it as some kind of IKEA assembly kit. We know a bit about this at the moment with the furniture we're making over there. But you'd be looking for the instructions because it's going that badly. And the Bible is that set of instructions from all these different authors, pointing especially to Jesus and saying, listen to him. Pointing to his death and resurrection and saying, there's the way for forgiveness. There's the way to eternal life. Because we forget easily. Because we need eyewitness testimony, because that's persuasive. Because we need inspired scripture, inspired words from God that are completely reliable. For all other messages are less reliable or less important or less persuasive or all three. It is so easy to let the entertainment of this world, just the things that we're doing, crowd out our focus on God's word, isn't it? And so today is just a reminder to all of us that we need reminding to go back into the scriptures. We need to discipline ourselves to keep reading, find our plan, to keep coming to church and hearing what's said, even if we're mature. Because Peter's assumption is we all forget. Why don't we pray for God's help in this regard? Father God, we do thank you that you know that we are weak and frail, and that we forget even the most important things. Father God, so help us to want to come and hear from you in the various ways you've given it to us. Help us to know how we can regularly read your scripture. We pray that through it, as we read it, we'd understand it and we'd draw closer to you, Father. We give you thanks too for your courageous witnesses like Peter, who was willing to say what he saw all the way to his death. Help us to have that kind of courage too, we ask, to proclaim what we know to be true. We pray you'd help us, and we're thankful that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.